May our Lord and Shepherd Jesus Christ guide us and lead us. Would you please turn in your bulletin on the second side, on the inside where the outline is, and we will read call to worship together. I'll be reading the light print and you the dark. God, our gentle shepherd, you have chosen us by name. God, our gentle shepherd, your rod and staff bring comfort. God, our gentle shepherd, you have prepared a great table. Restore us, your church, with goodness and mercy. Amen. For the opening prayer, at the end of the confession, we have a moment of silence for a private prayer. Lord, we want to confess our sins. We walk in the veil of death's shadow. Our deeds are unjust and bear no fruit. Our disobediences are secret, hidden from sight. Darkness lies over your land, and your people stumble. Our hearts are beating, but only for ourselves. We have only pity for those who have less. We have only anger at those who have more. We cannot spare compassion for those with whom we disagree. Our eyes are open, but we cannot see. We are blind to the neighbor beside us, unwilling to look on those different from us, refusing to lift our gaze beyond the ground at our feet. We anoint the unworthy. We put our hope in the surface of things. We doubt and question those who speak truth. We blame others for what we cannot see. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. Could you turn, please, again to your bulletin on the last page on the inside, the words of assurance, and we shall read it together. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. In grass meadows, the Lord makes us lie down. Be quiet, waters guide us. Alive, right, bring back. The Lord leads us on pathways of justice. Through we walk in the veil of death's shadow. We fear no harm, for you are with us. Your rod and staff is well. You set out a table before us in face of our foes. You moisten heads with oil. Our cup overflows. Now praise and worship will lead us in a song.
Good morning. Just a change from what's in the bulletin, we're going to sing Gentle Shepherd. We felt it sort of flowed nicer with the what we've just read. It is in your hymnals, number 352, if you're so inclined.
Shepherd, come and lead us, for we
Good morning and welcome to our worship service this morning. Are there any guests that need to be introduced? Or someone wishes to introduce themselves? Welcome. Welcome. Now we will highlight some of the bulletins. First, I need to go. I'm going backwards here. Alison Leach will be singing tonight at 8 p.m. on CTV at Channel 5. And everybody that has spare time, they would you could see and listen to them sing this evening. Under number 5, choir rehearsal for Good Friday and Easter are going well and will continue Sunday mornings at 9:30. Everyone who enjoys singing is welcome to join in. We will have an extra rehearsal this coming Wednesday, April the 2nd at 7 p.m. The visual you see that has changed again for Land 4. And the crude oil represents Samuel's anointing David. And item number 2, everyone is warmly invited to the Easter Pascha breakfast, taking place Sunday, April 20th at 9 a.m. We have not received any prayer requests. And in our church family, in hospital, Concordia Hospital is Anna France, Riverview Health Center, Garrett Brown, St. Boniface, Elsa Brown. And also let us remember all the people and the members of this church in the personal care homes. Is there anything else that should be highlighted or has been missed? If not, we have some time for sharing. If there's anyone that wishes to share, Ingo does have the mic. No? Okay.
Please stand if you're able to sing 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord.
It's a new day dawning. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Oh Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful day, for this day when we can gather together as a congregation to worship you. Lord, I ask that you be with those who are sick in our congregation, for those who are hurting, for those who cannot be here, and for those who are on vacation. Lord, be with them as they travel. Be with them as they have a good time. And Lord, I pray for us here this morning, and I pray for our country, our city. I pray for the people that are hungry, who need you, for those who struggle from day to day. Lord, I ask that you bless them, that you bless us, and that we grow in your faith. Amen.
We will now take our collection and sing a song that can't do two things at once. Linda brought to our attention a while back in praise and worship, and it's a beautiful song of the gift that our Lord and Savior gave us.
With us, and we remember.
The scripture reading this morning is from John 9, 1 to 41. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened," the man replied. "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received a sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he now can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered. "And we know he was born blind. But how can he see now? Or who opened his eyes? We don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whatever he is, a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains."
Good morning. That was a pretty long passage that we read there. It's a lot of stuff in it that we could cover, but I think we'd be here for quite a while. And as I noticed by my watch, I have more time than usual, so no, I won't go that way. And last Sunday I also had Hi Opa from the pew. Well, I have my three grandchildren here again, three different ones, so I will say hi to them now so that they know I'm here and that everybody knows that they're here as well. Also, as part of the sharing, last Sunday we talked about Ashley and how she was going in for surgery. The surgery went well. They did remove a tumor, and now we're waiting for the results, and we have to wait till May. So just keep her and us in your prayers as well. I appreciate that. Also, too, with all of that sitting in the background, with Ashley and her surgery, and then reading this passage and having to speak on this, it really brought home a lot of stuff that makes it pretty difficult. And Linda asked me, "Are you going to be able to talk on this?" And I said, "Yes. I know I'm emotional. The older I get, the more emotional I get. But yeah, I can do this because it has a point, and God has something for me to say to you." I'm not going to talk about all of those verses. I'm going to focus a lot more on what happened to the blind man. Now, if we read this story, and I'm going to give you, a lot of us know what the old movies were like, the silent movies, Charlie Chaplin, no sound, just the music playing. Well, let me give you a little bit of a synopsis of what that story is. And then I will give you a second story. So in the first story with a blind man, here we see a man sitting on a street corner. He'd been sitting there for years. He was well known by everybody around because that was his corner. Early morning, he was there. Late afternoon, he was there. He was willing to beg, and it was a good place to beg for food and for money. Now, as we see this picture continuing on, here's this group of people coming towards the man sitting on the corner. They gather around the man, and you can see the discussion going on. And they're pointing to the man, and they're pointing to another man within the group. Well, as this man begins to talk, he also starts to kneel down. And as he kneels down, he spits into the ground. And when he spits into the ground, he begins to stir it, and he begins to make mud. Then he takes some of the mud, and he goes up to the man, and he smears the mud on his eyes. Now, the man really didn't ask for that to happen. The man was just there. Jesus was offering him something, and the man accepted it. Now, we see the man walking off towards the pool in the middle of the square, and Jesus and that group of people walk off. The man washes his eyes, and you can see an excitement coming over the man. He looks at his hands. He looks at the sky. He looks at the tree. He looks at the water. You can see something has happened. He's changed. And then he looks around and he tries to find the man who'd done the healing, but he can't find him. So he's walking around and he's talking to all these people. He knows the voices, but he doesn't know who they are. But they seem puzzled and bewildered. What's going on here? What happened? So they take him, and they take him to the Pharisees, and they want the Pharisees to explain what's going on here. Like, this is the guy that was begging. We think he looks the same, he sounds the same, but he's not acting the same. So as they bring him in to the Pharisees, you see the Pharisees sitting in there, and they're holding their kangaroo court. The man is brought before them, and they're sitting in there in front of him. He's standing in front of them, and they're firing questions at him. You can see a rapid succession of questions coming at him. And the man is answering in a nice, calm way. And you can see they're kind of agitated. They're kind of angry. And so they send someone out. And when they come back, when this person comes back, he's got a couple with him. And it is the boy's parents. It's the man's parents. So they ask them, and they're asking them questions, and all they're doing is saying, they're pointing at them and pointing at their son. So they're able to go, and they start firing the questions again at the man. And they seem to getting angrier and angrier. And finally, they took and called the guards, said, and they're saying, you can see they're saying, get him out of here. So the guards walk him out and throw him out of the church. Now as the man is out in front of the church and he's kind of bewildered, he looks around and there's Jesus. And he falls down and he worships Jesus, and Jesus reaches down his hand and picks him up off the ground. And as he picks him up off the ground, you can see the Pharisees are kind of puzzled again. What's going on here? Now I'll tell you the second story. A man wheels in towards the ER. He's in a wheelchair. He's an amputee. He's got a couple of, his legs are missing. He wheels in and he meets a triage nurse. And the triage nurse kind of talks to him and seems to say, you know what? As the conversation is going, they seem to know each other. They've met before. So the triage nurse walks away, and the man wheels into the waiting room. He wheels in, and he sits to wait for his turn to see the doctor. But as time goes on, 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hours, we all know that the wait in the ER can be fairly lengthy. He throws up. So his cleaning staff come in, push him back out of the way, mop up the floor, get everything cleaned away, push him back in the same spot, and they go away. Patients come. Patients go. Doctor calls in a patient. They go in. They don't come back. The patients keep coming through. Doctors, nurses walk on by. They've got things to do, people to see. They're busy. The shift changes. New people come on staff. More people come and go. Doctors come. The man throws up again. Again, cleaning staff come in, wheel him out, wheel him to the side, clean up the floor. He does this a few times, and then he grows quiet. And in the meantime, people are coming back and forth, going in and out. New patients come. And then all of a sudden, after 34 hours, 150 patients have come and gone. 150 people. And out of those 150 people, numerous had sat beside him, walked by him, and hadn't noticed him. They finally noticed the man when he was dead. Now, these two men had very similar stories. Both of these men were outcasts. The one man, the blind man, he was accused of being a sinner from birth. He hadn't done anything, but he was blind. He was blind because his parents had sinned. He was on the street corner. He was to be pitied. He was to be given food just out of pity. He was ostracized. He had no friends. And then there was the man in the wheelchair. He was an outcast as well. He wasn't our color. He was from a different background. And he was ostracized, pitied, because he was a substance abuser. That's why he had lost his legs. That's why he was back in the hospital, because of his substance abuse. The blind man had been given the opportunity. Jesus, walking down the street with his disciples, stopped at the man and reached down, made some mud, and healed the man. He took the time, he took the effort. The man in the wheelchair, he didn't have that opportunity, did he? Yet there were 150 people in that waiting room coming and going. There were doctors, there were nurses going past him. No one stopped to ask, "How are you doing?" They didn't have to make mud to heal him. All they had to do was stop and say, "How are you doing?" Would it have taken his affliction away? No. Would he have been healed? No. His legs still would have been amputated. He still would have probably been a substance abuser. But if someone had stopped and asked the question, he would still be alive. There's many things out there, and I can say, you know what? I wasn't there. But, and many of us, we probably weren't there either. But had we been there, would we have made a difference? Would we have stopped and talked to this man to ask him the question? I'd like to think that we would have. I really do. As Christians, it is our duty. It is, as Jesus said, I am here to do the work of God. It wasn't there that he came and said, your sins are forgiven, like he could have. We remember the man who they lowered through the roof of a house into a meeting where Jesus was. He had four friends. They dug a hole in the roof and they let him down on a bed. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. It was not that. It's a fact that he was there and we weren't. And we kind of think that we can help, do that little bit of help. Yes, we can. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, so if we would have been there, would we have done the same thing? I don't know, and I hope we would have. But the thing is, it isn't only that blind man that we see or that cripple that we see. We have our own sense of spiritual blindness at times. I hate to say this, but there have been times when I've been walking along and there's been someone in a store, down in the street, someplace. And I've seen the person and you know what? I don't have the 10 minutes. I don't have the 20 minutes to stop and talk. So I will kind of quickly turn before they see me and go down another aisle. So I don't have to talk to them. So I don't have to take that time to say even hi. We assume that they will take up all of our time. That's a kind of a spiritual blindness where we don't really see what we're supposed to be doing. Another type of spiritual blindness is when we put ourselves in front of others. When we hold grudges and don't forgive. We do what's easy, not what's right. Now, those are just a few examples of this blindness. And it's not only the blindness that affects us, it affects the communities around us. It affects those that are outside our church community. It's the ones in the neighborhood. It's our neighbor. It's the people we work with. Our spiritual blindness affects them. And yes, it affects us even here, our spiritual blindness. Yes, sometimes we don't agree on what we think or what we should do, but that's not... And if we, then we go beyond that and not accept a different way. If it's not our way, I only want it my way. Spiritual blindness and not looking at the whole thing. So what's the point of all of this? What's the point of all of the two stories, the two men, the two differences? I'm debating if I should do this or not, but I think I will. In my pocket, I have an envelope. Who would like it? Who would like what's in this envelope? Now that's exactly what Jesus did. He walked up into that group and he reached out to the blind man. And he said, I have something for you. Whether or not a person is willing to accept it or not, that is the point. The point is the gift is given. And that's why we're here. That's the point of all of this, is reaching out to the person that's next to you. Not expecting anything in return. Not expecting drastic changes. The point here is that we walk out in among our friends and in our families, that there are times when we say the hi, the hello, or take that 5-10 minutes out of our busy time and to just talk to them The miracles that Jesus performed aren't the ones that we're going to be performing. The miracles we perform are when we say that hi. We can make that change in someone's life. Many times we've heard the stories of how someone made a phone call or talked to someone, stopped someone on the street and said, yeah, let's go. When that person was considering suicide. How many stories are out there when one person can make that difference? We are here to do God's work. We are here for God. We can't be God, but we can do His work. I think of the man who sat in that waiting room. How many of those 150 patients were Christian? Would we have made that difference? I don't know. This is one of those things that God tries to point to us time and time again. It was not that we can make such a big difference in the world, but yet we can. The front page of a newspaper. What is on the front page? Stories of people getting hurt, people getting shot, tragedy. And then 3/4 of the way or one of the back pages, what do we see back there? It's called random acts of kindness. Random acts of kindness? Why would they have to be random? Shouldn't it be something we do each and every day? And if we would do that, wouldn't it make the paper kind of flip-flop? Where we could say, there is no news out there of people being mistreated, hurt. Yeah, there'd be natural disasters, but they wouldn't come close to where we are helping others. We can make that difference. That's what this story is all about. Thank you.
We're singing a couple of verses of Amazing Grace and then going into a little bit of a faster part.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. As God
Shall we rise to the benediction? Once again, the mundane became majestic. Once again, the dull became divine. The humdrum holy one, again, God's power was seen, not through the ability of the instrument, but the strength of its availability. Blessed are the meek, Jesus explained. Blessed are the available. Blessed are the conduits, the tunnels, the tools. Deliriously joyful are the ones who believe that if God has used sticks, rocks, and spit to do his will, then he can use us. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord place his face upon us and keep his peace. May we go in peace. Amen.
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 Listen to our prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to our prayer. O Lord our God, we know you are near. Lend us your ear, hear our plea. Yahweh. Can you hear our cry,
Yahweh?
Can you hear our cry? Lead us and guide us, show us the way. From day to day, step by step, let peace like a river flow,
let peace
like a river flow, like a river constantly flows to the sea. Our spirits flee to you, Lord.
Amen.
Listen to our prayer. Listen to our prayer. O Lord our God, we know you are near. Lend us your ear, hear our plea.
lend us your ear.